Good evening and welcome to Mental Health Let's Talk About It. I am Charlene Pickram, your host, and you're listening to CIOE 97.5 FM. Tonight's special guest is Kimberly Strange from Kimberly Strange Counseling. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you because you have been my registered counseling therapist in the past, and I am much better for it, so thank you. And I think it's really important that people understand exactly what a registered counseling therapist is and the services you provide. But what I would like the listeners to know is, what was your journey? What led you to becoming a registered counseling therapist?
Well, I would say I've always tell people that the thread of care has been woven throughout my entire life, I would say, just from my upbringing and my experiences as a child and youth. I realized I started out working with an undergrad in psychology, and that led me to working with young offenders in an open custody facility. And my work with them really taught me that I wanted to do more. I wanted to do more than what I could in that setting. So I had applied to the Masters of Education and Counseling at Acadia University in the mid-90s and was accepted into that program. And then from there, became involved in the association. There was an association for counseling professional counselors here in Nova Scotia, and I became involved in the work there. On an association level. And then in 2011, legislation was passed to have us now the profession of counseling therapy recognized in the province. And so, that's sort of a bit of my journey of how I got here.
So when I was struggling with my depression and anxiety, I went through my employee assistance program. And one of the reasons why I chose you, Kimberly, was because of your background working with youth. So I felt that you could understand the context of where I was working and the impacts that that was having on me. excuse me, I understand that for registered therapist counselors, there are multiple ways to make contact with you and have you assist others. Can you explain what those are?
Sure. So currently now in Nova Scotia, there's approximately 40,000 individuals and their dependents that have access to sessions with a counseling therapist under their workplace benefit plan, for example. So you've just mentioned your employees assistance program, for example. We also are now recognized by all major national benefit plan providers. Counseling therapists are recognized by those benefit plans. And an increasing number of employers are including registered counseling therapists as approved practitioners in their benefit plan package. So a number of ways, right? So again, you said about your employees assistance program. Some people may have medical benefit insured by, say, Blue Cross, Manulife as such. And so we are certainly recognized by those benefit plans. And then we're working in letting employers know what we can offer within their benefit plans package. So as I said, 40,000 Nova Scotians now can reach a counseling therapist through their benefit packages, their workplace benefit packages. So you'll find counseling therapists across the province in urban and rural settings. In order to find sort of a private counseling therapist, we encourage people to go to our website, www.nscct.ca, and you'll find a full list there of private practitioners across the province, again, in urban and rural settings. You'll also find counseling therapists in mental health clinics, healthcare facilities, community and government agencies, public and private school systems, community colleges, universities, correctional facilities. We're all over the place, and we're just excited about increasing the access for mental health services for individuals in Nova Scotia.
And another reason why I really enjoyed going through the employee assistance program was because I had also had a psychiatrist at one point, and there was a delay in time. So I went to my doctor, I got, you know, the referral, then I had to wait until somebody contacted me. So there was a delay in the time period of when I needed to see somebody and when I actually got to see somebody. Mm-hmm. And with you, it was much quicker. The process was, quicker, which was more beneficial to me because, of course, I waited to the point where, you know, I really needed somebody and I needed somebody then.
Yes.
Not 3 or 4 months down the road.
Yes.
So that, to me, that's the benefit of the registered counseling therapist, because there are so many of you guys around right now, mm-hmm. like you said, rural, in the cities, in organizations, in schools, you're really out there and available to people, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And we're really excited about the growth that's happening with the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists. Currently, we have over 250 licensed counseling therapists, registered counseling therapists across the province, and it's growing exponentially. Mm. And I think a large part of that is in October 2011, legislation was passed bringing counseling therapy into existence as a legal health profession here in the province of Nova Scotia. So now the College of Counseling Therapists, we are the regulatory body that oversees the profession of counseling therapists in our fair province. And so what that entails, actually in November I became the chair of the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists.
Yes, and, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so with that, the work of the committees and the board members is to ensure accountability, essentially, for people who are practicing counseling therapy here in the province of Nova Scotia. The college ensures that all practicing registered counseling therapists in the province meet and maintain licensing requirements and adhere to the code of ethics and standards of practice referenced in the Counseling Therapist Act. Mm-hmm. You may also see that some of our counseling therapists also have a certified Canadian counselor designation, CCC, at the end of their credentials.
Yes.
Many of our members choose to be a part of the national association called the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association that's based out of Ottawa. And membership to that association ensures that we're on tap of what's happening across the country when involving counseling therapy. That association also assists in providing continuing education credits.
Yes.
Registered counseling therapists are required to maintain their educational opportunities throughout the year in order to maintain their licensure. So. Continuing education opportunities that ensure that counseling therapists are aware of, you know, best practices, current best practices when it comes to counseling therapy. So all of those things are very important. The accountability that the college exists to ensure, you know, the protection of the public and making sure that counseling therapists are meeting the requirements that are laid out by the act that was passed in 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Kimberly, you are, I'm looking at your credentials here.
Sure.
So MED, so Master's in Education and Counseling, Registered Counseling Therapist, and in the CCC.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So you cover all of it.
Yes. And in order to be a registered counseling therapist, individuals are required to have a master's degree as a minimum level of education. Mm-hmm. And once that person has received that level of education, as well for licensure, individuals are required to complete 2,000 hours of postgraduate clinical work, which includes 800 direct therapist-client counseling hours. And also to maintain the license, we engage, as I mentioned, about the continuing education opportunities yearly to maintain licensure. So we're really excited and thrilled about being able to provide this to the public, right? As the regulatory board.
Yeah. It is exciting, mm-hmm. you know, to have been fighting for that professional recognition, for individuals to have another strategy to deal with their mental health issues and concerns, that's want a little more fast track,
mm-hmm.
a little more available to individuals because, you know, this show exists, Mental Health, Let's Talk About It, because we're seeing such an increase in mental health issues and concerns.
Yes, yes.
You know, Kimberly, what do you see predominantly with the individuals that you are coming into contact when it comes to mental health issues and concerns? I came to you for depression and anxiety, and I know that you work with teens because we, in a professional sense, you know, we have passed, I guess, paths in the residential facility world, because you worked with some of the teens that I was working with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with families. Mm-hmm. So the lifespan, you work with everybody.
That is right. Yes. Yeah.
So what are you seeing in the sense of mental health issues and concerns?
Yeah. Well, and my colleagues and I, as registered counseling therapists, you know, as you mentioned, we provide mental health services to, you know, adults, adolescents, children, couples, families, and groups across the age span for sure. And what my colleagues and I are seeing, as well as other health professionals across the province, you know, we certainly recognize that in order for someone to be holistically well, we need to address and meet the needs of people's mental and emotional health. So, you know, there's lots of things facing families and individuals, you know, nowadays. You know, I would say that much of the areas that we see coming in the door, you know, everything from, you know, symptoms of anxiety, depression, life changes, you know, suicide, many, many issues, as you said. When someone comes to us through an employee's assistance program, mm-hmm. for example, you know, our job is to receive the client, to assess, you know, really what is happening for that client, and to gain knowledge from the client, you know, very, very client-centered counseling, mm-hmm. that you would receive from a counseling therapist. So, in general, you know, there's many things that are affecting people as they walk in the door, and counseling therapists, my colleagues and I, as well as other mental health professionals across the province, are doing our best to provide competent, compassionate care to our clients.
That's excellent. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more about the holistic approach and how Kimberly would go through the process of assessing individual or family and moving forward with the counseling process. You're listening to Mental Health, Let's Talk About It. I'm Charlene Pickram, your host, and this is CIOE 97.5 FM. Welcome back. You're listening to CIOE 97.5 FM. Mental Health, Let's Talk About It. And this evening we have Kimberly Strange with us. And just before the break, we were talking about the holistic approach and how Kimberly would co-create sessions with her clients to discover their needs. So I really enjoyed our sessions because you were very open to what it was I needed mm-hmm. from you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I specifically enjoy doing is walking and talking. So many of our sessions were you meeting me somewhere and us going for a nice little walk in the woods and having a conversation, maybe sitting down on a bench. And I find that really removes some of the stigma for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to this medical building and going into an office and laying on the couch, you know, the mm-hmm. the typical what we think of when we go into therapy.
Sure.
So can you talk about what is the process that you go through when you first come into contact with your clients, and how does it work? So people who have anxiety about the process, give them a little heads up on what that is all about.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, and as you mentioned, we certainly got creative with the way we delivered counseling therapy with you, Charlene, and myself as well as my colleagues certainly dedicated always right to the well-being of our clients. And we offer support to people working through interpersonal, emotional, and mental health issues. And, you know, when we first meet a client, it is really essentially my training and my education has taught me that oftentimes people intrinsically know what it is that they need. If someone approaches my office with, you know, having symptoms of anxiety or depression or what have you, I like to explain to people that, you know, oftentimes these symptoms are really a signal, signal from sort of their inner world that's saying, you know, there's something not quite right here, right? There's something that we need attention. Yeah. Attention is needed in some area of our lives. And so not always are symptoms of anxiety and depression, we don't always have to look at that as adverse, for example. Of course, depending on how it's impacting on your life, right, and how extreme your symptoms are. But when people come with those sort of symptoms or having trouble making decisions in their lives about transitions or you know, family difficulties or what have you, I really do believe that the individual has much of the answers within themselves. Mm-hmm. One of my professors at Acadia, for example, had sort of suggested that we never give advice. And so that may, to the listeners, that may seem kind of surprising. Well, isn't that why I'm going to see counseling therapy? Because I need help to decide on what I need to do.
Yeah.
But we know, you know, that if I tell you, Charlene, what you should do in your life, and it works out, that's great, because you thank me forever for helping you or telling you what to do in your life. However, if it's not the right choice,
yeah,
then where does that leave you in your sense of empowerment,
exactly,
and your decision making for your own life and your own journey and your own path? You had asked me earlier when just about where I had I did my placement hours after during my counseling program at Acadia.
Yeah, during the break we had a little chat, and I was like, oh, I can't remember where you did your placement.
Yeah, and so in line with your questioning about how do we approach clients and how do we help, I remember a story comes back to me. I had done my placement hours at the King's Rehabilitation Center in Waterville. And I was speaking with and meeting with a young woman with severe mental health diagnosis. One of the things she asked me, or she shared with me, is that she'd been hearing voices, for example.
Mm.
And my response back to her was, well, what do the voices say? And tears came to her eyes, and her comment back to me was, you believe me? You believe me that I hear voices? And so myself, my colleagues, we really sort of do recognize that notion that I don't have to prove that what you're feeling is true.
Yeah.
My job is to help you in the most compassionate and confident way to allow you to unearth, you know, those things that that may be barriers or roadblocks to your mental and emotional health, mm-hmm, by asking questions and allowing you to own your story, as opposed to me being the expert.
And
we truly do believe that the client is the expert.
Yeah,
yes.
And so for me, because my business is PIC Empowerment, so it's all about, and it's coaching, it's social emotional intelligence profile coaching and workshops.
Yes.
That is the process as well.
Yes.
It's not about advice. It's about listening to the individual, seeing what is potentially missing within that holistic scope of their life.
Yes.
And asking appropriate questions to allow the individual to come to their own conclusions and their own strategies for their well-being.
Yes.
So it is that empowerment, that personal power piece that really you're assisting the individual with attaining for themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And our education and our backgrounds and our continuing education, as I mentioned, that counseling therapists are required to maintain for their licensure each year, again, ensures us that we have, you know, we have the ability and we have the knowledge to offer suggestions of tools and strategies to teach clients, for example, about the connection between their mind and their body. Mm. Much of my practice is around mindfulness. Many of us are hearing that word nowadays. What does that mean, that whole being in the present moment without judgment? We know, for example, there's so much exciting research now just about how the mind works, right? How our thoughts affect our physical body and mm-hmm. our emotional health. And it's a really exciting time to be able to share that with clients in order that they may understand themselves better.
Yeah.
That's the hope, that when they leave a session, that they understand themselves better mm-hmm. more than when they walked in the door. And so again, you know, the College of Counseling Therapists is part of that, ensuring that clients receive the best help that they can.
So, you know, again, for me, and that's what we spent a lot of time working on, mm-hmm. particularly with my anxiety, was mm-hmm. the mindfulness and how the way that I was thinking mm-hmm. was really impacting the way I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that was essential in my learning. And the fact that, you know, you would provide me with little tips or little reading exercises, or again, I had to do this for myself. And I think one thing that both you and I can agree on is that if the individual is not invested in the process, that it doesn't matter what you as the counselor does or me as the coach does, we're not real, the individual's not going to have a lot of success unless they're invested in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly, I see a lot of young people, example, through Department of Community Services, right? Kids in care,
yeah.
In foster homes and group homes. And sometimes, you know, maybe the openness maybe isn't there initially. But as counseling therapists, we work really diligently on building rapport with
yeah.
people, right? Establishing, letting people know, you know, when they walk in the door, what is this about? What can I expect? How are you different maybe from, you know, another mental health practitioner in the province?
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things is, for example, ensuring confidentiality to the client, right? That if you come to us through an employee's assistance program, you know, for example, that your information is not shared, you know, with your employer. All of those things that allow the client to relax somewhat, to know what their rights are, to know what to expect, and to begin to carve out a creative and collaborative way of working together between the client and the counseling therapist, much of the time following the lead of the client. Because essentially, you know, as we mentioned, essentially most times people know what it is they need. We know things like anxiety and depression, and I like to call it mental noise sometimes. Sometimes the mind is racing around trying to find solutions, right?
Yeah.
And so much of my work, and as well as other counseling therapists, my colleagues across the province, is sort of helping clients clear away those, self-deprecating thoughts, those, you know, I should have, I would have, I could have statements mm-hmm. that so many of us make in the run of a day, right? Or the mind, you know, leans into the future, you know, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens?
Yeah.
We know that the body responds to stress.
Mm-hmm.
We know that thoughts can create stress. And so it's a very individualized, client-centered approach. As I said, you see counseling therapists, you see counseling therapists working in groups and with couples and families, as well as the individual counseling that we just spoke about. So
mm-hmm.
it really is, you know, following the lead of the client, establishing rapport in as short amount of time as possible, allowing people to rest in the knowledge that they are meeting with a legal, registered, licensed, all those words,
yeah.
Counseling therapist that is governed by a regulatory body, the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists, whereby we, you know, we have, you know, checks and balances in place to ensure the counseling therapists are offering the most timely, collaborative, creative ways of helping individuals. And in that line, we certainly have, as the regulatory body, one of the functions in ensuring that we have a complaints process that is open and transparent to individuals who may have questions or concerns regarding some of the care that they received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, again, for me, it was the fact that I knew that whatever I said, as crazy as I thought it was in my own mind.
In my own mind,
yes, it is the perception that it wasn't going to go any further.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
And that you were kind of my verbal diary.
Sure.
Is how I describe it.
Yes.
And for some people, just having a diary to put their thoughts down and process is fine.
Yes.
But for my personality, I need to have somebody to bounce things off of. I need somebody to question me and make me think beyond my own perspective.
Yes.
And that's why having a registered counseling therapist is so essential. So when we come back after this break, we'll continue with Kimberly Strange. You're listening to Mental Health. Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Charlene Pickram. Welcome back to Mental Health. Let's Talk About It with Kimberly Strange. I am your host, Charlene Pickram, and this is CIOE 97.5 FM. So during the break, we were talking about registered counseling therapists and the difference between a registered counseling therapist and a registered counseling therapist candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain what is the difference there for us, Kimberly?
Sure. So a registered counseling therapist is a member who has completed all of the requirements, which includes, for licensure, which includes a candidacy period. So an RCTC, a candidate, if you see that designation, you can be assured that they as well possess the minimum level of a master's in a counseling-related field, a master's degree in a counseling-related field, and that they have, you know, as well completed their 2,000 hours of postgraduate clinical work, which includes all of that, the 800 direct therapist-client counseling hours. The candidate is working on those requirements in order to become a full licensed member, and that candidate works with a more seasoned, more experienced mental health practitioner.
Okay.
Wherein they enter into a supervisory relationship. That supervisor possesses and has completed supervision training or education in order for them to be able to mentor that new registered counseling therapist as they work with clients. The public needing to know that RCTC, that candidate, has the full education and experience to essentially do the same work that the registered counseling therapist is doing.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is they have entered into a supervisory relationship for a period of time to ensure, you know, the competency and the confidence of that new registered counseling therapist candidate as they meet with clients.
Definitely.
So I just wanted to explain that difference to ensure that people know that a candidate has all of the education things to be licensed as a candidate.
Yeah.
The only difference is they have entered into a supervisory relationship, and that at the end of that supervisory relationship, the supervisor, the other more seasoned mental health practitioner, is able to ensure, again, like we said, the competency and helping to preserve the integrity of the counseling profession, right?
Yeah.
Across the province.
Okay, excellent. Because, you see somebody's name and you see all the alphabet box.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And you do. You wonder, well, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just as you were explaining about the National Association, the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association.
Yes.
Some people may say, well, if you're a certified Canadian counselor with CCPA, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're hoping to be able to explain to people that the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists is the regulatory body that has been tasked by the Department of Health and Wellness to ensure the integrity of counseling therapy across the province.
Yeah.
CCPA is an association that we are affiliated with.
Right.
We adhere to the code of ethics and standard of practice that was developed by CCPA, but wanting to ensure that the public recognizes that the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists is the regulatory body, is the legal regulatory body that governs counseling therapy in Nova Scotia.
So is that who you would make a complaint to if you had a concern or question regarding your registered counseling therapist?
Precisely. And that is one of the most important functions of that regulatory body, the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists. We do have a clear and open complaints process that is open to the public. We encourage people to go to our website, www.nscct.ca. Mm-hmm. If anybody had any questions regarding, for example, the complaints process, all of the information is there. And a visual pathway as to, you know, next steps if the public had, an issue that they wanted the college to look into regarding other professional misconduct or what have you. And so those are some pretty critical pieces that the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists is tasked with.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to ensure that when you walk into a room and you're meeting with a registered counseling therapist or a registered counseling therapist candidate, that you can be assured that the education and the experience is there, and that there is someone, there's someone watching to ensure that that is happening.
Yes.
As opposed to maybe you might meet with someone else who maybe doesn't have the same credentialing. And that's not to say that there are not other people out there doing good work. But as far as expanding the choice that Nova Scotians have across the province, we now have over 250 registered counseling therapists across the province, and that number is growing every day. And so we're really just excited that Nova Scotians are going to have more choice than ever when they're seeking to meet with a mental health practitioner that, explores their emotional and mental health needs.
Mm-hmm. So, again, when I went seeking a therapist,
mm-hmm.
I was able to go onto a website
mm-hmm.
where I got to see all of your guys' pictures and a little kind of bio about you.
Yes.
To help in the process. Because again, for some individuals,
mm-hmm.
they want a female, they want a male, they want somebody who's familiar with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals, you want to feel that the person that you're speaking with has some kind of context regarding your life. So is that the same website then, or is there a particular website where people can go and specifically look? And is there testimonials, like feedback or...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It certainly is all encompassed on one website right now, the www.nsscct.ca. On that website, we don't have testimonials necessarily at this point, but what you'll find, for example, is a private practice listing, for example. And you can peruse that listing, whether you're in Yarmouth, whether you're in Cape Breton, whether you're in Antigonish. And you can peruse that listing, and you can find profiles on the Find a Therapist and Find a Private Practice, on the Private Practice listing. You can find sort of a brief outline of what that counseling therapist, what their areas of expertise are, for example.
Yes.
You'll also find another list that just lists all of our members across the province that are in good standing with the college.
Okay.
And so some of those people may be in private practice, that full list of people who are licensed. But again, as I mentioned, you can find a counseling therapist in private practice, mm-hmm. or you can find them in so many other places, right?
Because you're private practice.
I am in private practice, that's right. Yeah, exactly. As well on the website is, for anybody that's interested, the full Counseling Act is there in order for anybody who would like to read it, our bylaws, all of the things that inform the work that the college, the board members of the Nova Scotia College of Counseling Therapists, as well as the committees. We have many committees that are working on different arms of issues that, again, are working towards increasing access and educating the public as to who we are, what we do, and where you can find us, and how you can be assured that that you're receiving, you know, the best care possible through that governance with the college.
So your private practice, you do have an office.
I do, in Fall River, a home office in Fall River. Yes, I do.
In Fall River. So, you know, again, it's that option for the client, which is so awesome because, you know, meeting at a coffee shop, meeting at a library, meeting in your office, going for a walk. I don't do you do Skype?
There's certainly, you know, increasingly there are more and more mental health practitioners that are offering online counseling opportunities. I don't particularly at this point, but you can. I'm certain that you could find another registered counseling therapist across the province doing that work. You know, just with the increase in technology in today's world, that certainly is happening amongst the professions, right? Other mental health practitioners, for sure. Wanting to, offer the most timely, creative, client-centered help available. Another registered counseling therapist may be listening right now and saying, I don't do that. I don't go for walks in the park, whatever. I think for me, where that began was my work with youth, youth in care, who are living in foster homes and group homes. And I certainly do identify that not everybody is not everybody feels as emotionally safe in a room when I'm looking straight at you and you're 15 and asking you to tell me your life story. But what I realized is that certainly overflows into the adult population, right? There are many ways and many paths to healing. And Charlene, you and I just chose, a literal path walking through the woods.
And again, it's that, you know, feeling of having some control in the process.
Certainly.
And again, that's one of the things that really attracted to me and made me feel safe with you. You know, is that you were willing to listen to what it was I needed for us to have the most beneficial session. And for me, with my personality, of course,
sitting still.
Well, sitting still, but actually being able to accomplish another need while do like two things, multitasking. Which is a big issue for me. I'm, you know, we talk about mindset and being in the moment. Well, sometimes my mindset needs to be active. While processing. And so, you know, talking about that, I know at one point, you know, I was having a panic attack. And very fortunately, I was able to reach out via phone and you just happened to be available. And we went over the whole, you know, strategies of how to get through that panic attack. You know, it's 7 minutes max. You know, how to ground myself, how to realize that I'm not having a heart attack. I'm not going to die. For those of us who know what a panic attack feels like. So, you know, again, the benefits of having a registered counseling therapist or candidate who's willing to listen to you. So when we come back, we're going to continue with Kimberly Strange. And you're listening to Mental Health. Let's talk about it. I'm Charlene Pickram, your host. And this is CIOE 97.5 FM. Good evening and welcome to Mental Health. Let's talk about it. I am your host, Charlene Pickram. This is CIOE 97.5 FM, and I have Kimberly Strange, registered counseling therapist, with us this evening, talking about, of course, mental health. So, Kimberly, we were kind of talking about the registered counseling therapists and how they're connecting and collaborating with other mental health professionals. So, what's going on there?
Well, again, we're very excited to be a part of the landscape, you know, again, legally and professionally across the province, and very thrilled about the opportunities that we've been having to work with other mental health practitioners across the province, psychologists, for example, clinical social workers and such. Currently, we've been actively working alongside having conversations with the Nova Scotia Health Authority, for example. Again, letting people know who we are, what we do, what are the differences when you see, for example, a psychologist or a clinical level social worker or other health practitioners. Our work with the Nova Scotia Health Authority is increasing the awareness of the competence that we have to fill those positions, those mental health or, sorry, clinical positions that exist within the health authority. So we're very happy about those discussions that we're having. So you can for sure find counseling therapists within mental health clinics across the province, and we're wanting to increase that number for sure. Last year, we also were invited to a Mental Health Forum Day, where we're invited to sit around the table and discuss with other health practitioners. Just sort of, you know, what is happening in the province? You know, what are some of the gaps? What are some of the things that we as mental health practitioners can help with creating a plan, you know, to increase access and timely accessibility to critical mental health help? Around that table were psychologists, clinical level social workers, pharmacists, psychiatrists, and it was a really fantastic day of coming together, understanding that we are all stronger together in this as mental health practitioners, and so we are thrilled with the opportunity to connect and collaborate in the future with other mental health practitioners that exist in the province. Recognize that we all bring different skills to the table, right?
Yes.
Different education, different experiences, different narratives that inform the work that we do. Understanding that assessment and diagnosis, all of those pieces, and the counseling therapy work, all of those pieces are important to be able to provide the most comprehensive care to Nova Scotians.
Yeah. And that's the complementary piece.
That's the complementary piece. Certainly recognizing that, you know, the education requirements of a psychologist or a master's level clinical social worker, each of those programs and educational experiences have a little bit of a different scope and a little different slant. But at the end of the day, we are complementary, right? Mm-hmm. And we do currently, right? If you find a counseling therapist that's working in a clinical setting somewhere within the health authority, you know, we are working alongside and collaborating with psychologists and master's level clinical social workers when it comes to the delivery of counseling services.
And that's the holistic piece. Again,
that is, yeah.
You know, we talk about teams and the importance of teams and being able to reach all the needs of the individual.
Yes.
You know, not all of us who are experiencing the challenges of mental health need medication.
Correct.
Some of us, yes. But again, can the needs be fulfilled in a different way by a different individual and with a slightly different approach?
Certainly.
Because the goal is the same for all of the different professions.
Yes.
To assist the individual to cope effectively with their symptoms of mental health. And so I love that you said that one of the reasons that you got together was to look at the gaps.
Yes.
Because I find as a society, we're very reactive.
Yes.
We wait until something happens and then, well, we need to address it.
Yes. Yes.
So was there any particular gaps that came up that stuck out in your mind, or is there any gaps that you personally see that you would like society to be aware of?
And I did use the word gaps, and I guess that might even sound like a bit of a negative word, but I guess really what came out of that day for example, one of the larger things that came out of that day, for example, was the understanding or the recognition of if Charlene is having difficulty with experiencing panic attacks that may not for you necessarily affect your daily life, but it is certainly affecting you. Or your anxious thoughts are getting in the way of, you know, going to work or functioning in those areas of your life that you used to function in. What we realized, or what we've always realized, but out of that discussion was not everybody needs to go to the emergency department. Mm. But, you know, if it's 11 o'clock on a Saturday night and you have no one else to turn to, or you feel as though you don't,
yeah,
that may be where you head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of the weight that you might have, you know, in an emergency room, for example, or emergency waiting room.
Yeah.
And so, again, our hope is to, you know, have more people, more mental health practitioners, quote, on the ground, right, in your community where you can access them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone nowadays is talking about mental health, and we're so happy that that's happening, whether it's the Mental Health Foundation of Nova Scotia, for example, that is increased, you know, just continually letting people know that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to not feel okay. And so back to your question about gaps, what have you, you know, all, having all of those people in the room with lots of stories of clients going here, going there, not getting their needs met, for example. And so it's an exciting time for us to think about more creative ways to put people in touch, right? So as we said, many people are talking about it. There are many things out there that people can access. We have the Bell Let's Talk Day that raises awareness around it's okay to not feel okay. It's okay to reach out for help. We know that when we have a physical symptom, we have, you know, diabetes or what have you, there's really no shame in going to your medical doctor to get assistance around your physical health. And so things like Bell Let's Talk Day, the Mental Health Foundation of Nova Scotia. I've just learned of a new website, a local website here called Shattered Silence.
Yes.
Where people can, you know, head to that website and share and learn and read stories about how many of us are more alike than we are different.
Yeah.
And, right?
Definitely.
And so you know what it's like when, you know, you're struggling with something, someone says, yeah, I hear you, right? I hear you, I understand you, I see you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even when I mention those things, you know, even when we direct people to websites,
mm-hmm.
you know, we also recognize that across this province, there are people that don't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so finding creative ways to get in touch with people, to let people know that we're here and that we're available and that we're listening, that we're listening is one of the biggest goals.
And to just decrease that stigma.
Yes.
Of not even so much asking for help, but being willing to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and to feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big thing. It was a big thing for me.
Yes.
You know, the fear that I was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that was my perception.
Mm-hmm.
How to change that mental perception and realize that, no, this is really quite normal. Like you said, there's so many people experiencing those mental messages
mm-hmm.
that are coming out in our emotions and our roadblocks
mm-hmm.
to us succeeding on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, decreasing the stigma, and again, that's part of what this show is about. Mental health, let's talk about it. It's a normal, everyday thing. Nobody's 100% all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to be mindful
mm-hmm.
and accept where we are.
Yes.
And why we're there.
Yes.
And work through that.
Yes. And really on any given day, many of, you know, if you look at mental health on a continuum, you know, on any given day, when I get up in the morning, you know, I could be anywhere on that continuum. And that's certainly not to minimize people with, you know, severe, more severe mental health diagnoses.
Yeah.
But in the run of a day, sort of, you know, daily, we're all, you know, you could wake up in the morning and you're feeling pretty bright, pretty happy about how things are going. And then by midday, you could have a couple negative thoughts that run through your mind that affect,
yes,
you know, the next thing that you do.
Yeah.
Right? So you haven't, yeah, it's a continuum for sure.
Yeah.
And for all of us to recognize that it ebbs and flows much of the time, depending on what's going externally around us, as well as what's going on internally.
Yeah.
What are we saying to ourselves about ourselves? And how is that impacting? I talked to a lot of people about self-compassion.
Mm, yes.
And we all know we have, you know, there are many things that make up who we are.
Yeah.
You know, our genetics. We're
the
all
nature and nurture.
The nature and nurture, that's right. We all have different recipe of our biological parents.
Yeah.
If we have a few siblings, none of us have the same exact recipe as our brother or sister. Right? And then our temperaments, you know, what was it that scared you but didn't scare your brother when you were little? And then our experiences that shape, literally shape the way the mind reacts or responds to internal or external stressors.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you talked about the continuum. And again, that's why we have, registered counseling therapists collaborating with other forms of professionals because, my depression and anxiety on the continuum may not be, as severe as somebody who needs medication every day, and therefore they would need to see somebody potentially other than a registered counseling therapist.
Precisely.
Yeah. So, one thing I like to ask all of my guests is, you know, you're having a bad day, Kimberly.
Yes.
What do you put on your playlist?
My playlist. I would say that if I'm needing music to help soothe my soul, it's usually a little bit of blues, a little bit of jazzy blues, just to kind of excite the soul a little bit. Yeah, that's what you'd find on my playlist. It is a little blues and a little jazz happening.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Kimberly Strange, for joining us. Can you provide us with your website?
I certainly can. So again, thank you so much for having me here, and very thrilled with the opportunity, letting people know that Nova Scotians has more choice than ever when they're seeking help with their mental and emotional needs. And you can find us at www.nsct.ca.
Fantastic. Well, on behalf of myself, Charlene Pickram, and my producer, Ron Goyach, thank you for joining us on Mental Health Let's Talk About It on CIOE 97.5 FM.